about similar topics by Working on Life coaching degree from Liberty University. She's looking forward to helping Christians know who they are and how to love others well so that the world knows Christ's love. She loves watching movies, eating chocolate and ice cream, and wants to go skydiving someday. No, thank you. And then our speaker, Maureen. What? Okay, we need everybody to be at a table. So if you have a seat at your table, would you raise your hand so that the lovely ladies on the stairs can move over to the tables, please? So we have seats. Come join. Yeah, we have one right here. Okay, so while they do that, I'm going to introduce Maureen. Maureen Brower is a developer of leaders. As a firm believer that everything rises and falls on leadership, Maureen is passionate about helping leaders understand themselves. She guides people on a journey of discovery, of discovering how they think and what their behavioral patterns are, what motivates them, and so they become more self-aware. Maureen is driven to encourage leaders to understand themselves because to live out your destiny, you must first know who you are. She brings a wealth of insight, knowledge, caring, and sincerity to coaching and has a knack for helping people turn theory and concepts into practical goals for growth. She is also a gifted facilitator with more than 15 years' experience in business, academic, and virtual classrooms. She has a drive for continual learning and growth and a focus on empowering others for success. Maureen has traveled to 12 countries outside the United States and also has spent 2 years living abroad. Those experiences have provided her with a unique opportunity to appreciate many different cultures and viewpoints. Outside of developing leaders, Maureen is a Husker football fanatic. She also enjoys family time, music, dance, drama, and art. So, all right, there we go.
Thank you, Presley. Hello, welcome. Thank you for coming. If there are still any seats at your table, just keep your hand up with the number one or two on your fingers so we can make sure that everyone has a seat at a table. Thank you. There's still one up here. I see one over there. If we're looking for seats, there's two over here in the middle. Awesome. All right. So thank you all for coming. As Presley said, I am really passionate about helping leaders understand who they are and know their identity because that is a prerequisite to fulfilling your destiny. And whether or not you identify with the term leader as part of the body of Christ, you are a leader. It's part of our calling and part of our destiny to be leaders in society to help establish the kingdom of God on the earth, to spread his glory and his fame. So in order to do that, you need to know who you are. And I'm just super passionate about that. My background is growing up in the church, experiencing a lot of bad leadership in the church, like many. And then God turning all of that around with a heart of compassion for leaders, wanting to see them succeed so that others don't have those unfortunate or difficult experiences with leadership in the church. I really want to see the church step into who we are and advance the kingdom of God on the earth. And I believe that a large part of that is in empowering leaders to be the leaders, the people, individuals that God has called us to be. So let's pray and then we will jump in. Jesus, thank you so much for your presence. Holy Spirit, we welcome you. We invite you to speak, to open our eyes, to open our understanding, to connect with us heart to heart, spirit to spirit. We just invite you to do what you want to do. We submit ourselves to you and we ask that you would encourage us, reveal who we are and how we are to go about fulfilling your mission and plans and purposes in our lives by walking out our identity. We love you, Jesus, and we commit this time to you, and we pray all these things in your name. Amen. All right. So I want to start by sharing the purpose of the session, and you'll see quite a bit of what I'm going to be sharing on the screens, just FYI. But the purpose of this session is not for me to provide you with an exhaustive explanation of who you are. There's one person who has that job. That's the Holy Spirit. What I want to do in my heart in this session is create opportunities for you to become curious, to take another step on the journey of discovering who you are. And so I'm going to be introducing you to things and creating opportunity where you may actually end up with more questions than you do answers. But that allows the Holy Spirit to partner with you on your journey. And that's a really critical piece, is partnering with him and hearing from him who we are. Not just using a label, or even though these tools are amazing, putting ourselves in a box through these tools, right? So I really want to create curiosity and set up opportunities for you to go, oh, I want to learn more about that. I want to study that more. I want to get more feedback in that area. This is something I'd like to know more about. So that's my heart in this session. And if you are someone who really likes a lot of detail and in-depth explanation, it may frustrate you a little bit that I'm not going to give it. So I'm just letting you know in advance. But I really want to just set you up for a conversation with Holy Spirit and for moving forward on that journey with him. All right, so let me ask what personal development tools you all have had some experience with. I'd like to get to know a little bit of more about who you are. So who has done StrengthsFinder? Very nice. How about Enneagram? A little less. DISC? Okay. What about Ultimate Journey? I've gone through it too. Presley said she had. All right. Has anyone done Myers-Briggs? Or 16personalities.com? All right. All of these are tools, and in different ways, they help you understand or recognize something about yourself. None of them gives you a complete picture of your personality or who you are. But each of them can be used in many different ways to help you grow on this journey of self-discovery. And so we're going to start by talking about what self-awareness is, because these tools are all intended to build self-awareness. So here's a few of things that I want to highlight. There are a lot of different ways you could define self-awareness, but understanding how you think and behave and why, recognizing patterns in your life, identifying your preferences, your motivations, your values and strengths, things along that line, consciously monitoring your thoughts and actions, being present and aware of what you're doing in the moment and why, perceiving the meaning of what you're experiencing, and processing your story and how it's impacting you or how it has impacted you. All of these are part of self-awareness. So to sum it up, I would just say that self-awareness is knowing who you are. And the point that I want to highlight here is that it's a journey, not a destination. This is a process that Holy Spirit will continue to lead you through for your entire life. He's continually taking us to new levels of revelation and understanding about who he has called us to be and what his plans and purposes are in our lives. So that brings us to the question of why is it important to understand self-awareness? And I have a couple of answers for that. The first one is because you are only in control of you. I am only in control of me. And I am the common denominator in my relationships. So the better I am at understanding myself and managing myself and making wise decisions about how I behave, how I communicate, how I relate with others, what I allow myself to think, what I accept as truth, the better I am able to relate with others and fulfill my destiny. I'm only in control of me. So self-awareness helps me to make better decisions in those areas. Another reason is that self-awareness helps us to steward our soul and build better relationships. So I, through self-awareness, can gain insight into why I'm feeling what I'm feeling, why something keeps happening over and over again in my life, where maybe I have believed a lie and where I need to replace it with the truth. Self-awareness helps me to recognize those things and steward my soul better, but then it also helps me to build better relationships. It helps me to know when to set boundaries and what kind of boundaries I need and how to take care of myself as well. And the last reason I'm going to give you is that it empowers you to fulfill your destiny. As I said before, you have to know who you are to walk out the plans of God in your life. And actually, I'm going to throw in one more as a bonus now that I'm thinking about it. But another reason that I love teaching and I'm very passionate about coaching self-awareness is because it destroys comparison. Comparison has done a lot of damage in the church, in our own individual lives, in our families, in society. And it is not from God. You are a unique individual with a unique story, with unique experiences. And whether it is comparison as in the form of putting others down to feel better or putting yourself down because you don't seem to measure up to someone else or minimizing someone's pain because it's not as terrible as another person's pain, all of those forms of comparison are not honoring to God. And we should be embracing who he made us to be. There's nobody else in all of history that is you, that has your story, that has your gifts, that has your perspective. He created you because you have a unique voice. You have a unique personality. You have a unique gifting and calling. And he fully intends to make you into the person who reveals his glory. It is his pleasure to reveal himself to you, through you, and to others around you, through your design, through how he made you, and even through your story. So self-awareness helps us to embrace who we are and walk that journey out, and it breaks down comparison. So that brings me to the three tools that I'm going to introduce you to today. And again, I want to highlight, introduce you to them. You'll be handed several things. We're going to work through some exercises at our tables. And the goal is to give you something to walk away with so that you can continue the process of discovering. It's not to answer all of your questions as we go through these activities. But the three tools that we are going to look at our locus of control, strengths, and DISC behavioral styles. So we are going to start with locus of control, and I've got a definition up here for you. Locus means place. It's not the bug. So place of control, if you want to translate it. But locus of control is your belief and how you perceive the underlying causes of the main events and outcomes in your life. This concept was created by Julian Rotter, and he was a psychologist and a therapist. And he created this spectrum, this continuum, where you can measure your locus of control. So how do you perceive what control you have over your life or what is driving the outcomes and the main events in your life. On one end, you have the external locus of control, which is a belief or perception that the main events and the outcomes in your life are controlled by things outside of yourself, external forces. That could be fate or God. It could be systems of power or circumstances around you. An external locus of control is a belief that your behavior is guided by external things. on the other end of the spectrum, you have an internal locus of control. And this is a belief that the outcomes and experiences that you have in your life are driven by your own choices and your own effort. It's dependent on what you do. So I want to direct your attention to your tables. You have post-it notes on your table. And I want each of you to take a post-it note and just write your first name on it. If you need more post-it notes at your table, let Tana know. She's got some extras. Just write your first name on the post-it note. All right. Now I've got a couple of questions on the screen that help you self-analyze and assess what is your locus of control. The first question is, do you believe that your destiny is controlled by yourself or by external forces? The second one is, are you who you are because of your own choices or because of the external events in your life, things beyond your control? So I want you to just take a few seconds to contemplate that and then direct your attention back to your table. You have an arrow on the table. On one end, it has an E for external. On the other end, it has an I for internal. I want you to take your post-it note and place it along that continuum. So do you tend toward an external locus of control? Are you somewhere in the middle? Do you tend toward an internal locus of control? There is no right or wrong answer. We're not judging anyone at our tables. This is a self-discovery exercise. So place your post-it note on the arrow according to where you think your locus of control is. All right. Now what we're going to do is pass out a self-assessment. This was developed by Julian Rotter, the man I told you who created this whole term, locus of control. And you're going to answer the questions for yourself. There are only two choices. Just choose an answer and go with your gut instinct. However you first perceive the question, select the answer that goes with your first perception. Don't overthink it. There's not a right or a wrong answer on any of these questions. So we have ladies circling with these assessments. And we'll give you a few minutes to do that assessment.
She has to make more copies.
Okay. We're running to make a few more copies. All right, here's what we're going to do. I will give you time to complete the assessment in a moment when Tana gets back with more copies. But what I want to talk about is how this can improve our self-awareness, how understanding what this is affects the way we think. first, and then I'll let you complete the self-assessment so that we can maximize our time, all right? So if we have an external locus of control, that's a tendency to believe that the circumstances around us drive our behavior. What that sounds like in everyday language is, I had no choice. If we have an internal locus of control, or more on that end of the spectrum, it sounds more empowering to some, right? I decided to do it this way. The negative or the opposite side of that coin is putting a lot of pressure on yourself to do it the right way. And understanding what viewpoint we have is not about saying that an external locus of control is good or bad. It's not about saying that an internal locus of control is good or bad. It's about recognizing how we think, how this impacts the decisions that we make, the way we behave, and even how we pray. So I'm going to share a quick example out of Scripture, and I want to see if you can identify the locus of control. In Luke 18, Jesus tells a story about a Pharisee and a tax collector who are in the temple praying. If you've grown up in the church, you're probably familiar with the story. The Pharisee stands in a very public area where there's lots of people around who can hear him, and very loudly, he begins by thanking God that he is not a wicked sinner like others. And then he lists all of these righteous things that he has done. So what locus of control do you think the Pharisee was praying from? You got it. It's an internal locus of control. He was interacting with God based on his own behavior. Now let's look at the tax collector. He's off in a corner. It says he's beating his chest and that he won't even lift his eyes to heaven. And he says, "Have mercy on me, O God, a sinner." Well, what kind of locus of control is he praying from? I hear some external. Could be in the middle. If he's acknowledging that he's a sinner, that he needs grace, he's recognizing that he doesn't deserve the mercy of God. That would be internal. But the fact that he reaches out and asks God for mercy would represent external. In the passage, Scripture records Jesus saying that one of these men was justified before God. The other was not. But both of them had an internal locus of control in understanding and looking at their own lives and seeing where they were at. So my point is, again, to reinforce that one is not better than the other. The point is to recognize this is how I'm interacting with myself, with others, with God. This affects the way that I view the world. And then submitting that to the Holy Spirit and growing in that area with him. Okay? So I think everyone has their copies now. Not yet? Not yet. Okay. I thought we had passed some more out. Oh, okay. We're getting more. Thanks for your patience. So I'll give you a personal example from my own life. I tend toward an internal locus of control, which means that there are times when I feel very strong and confident and that I can have the impact that I want to have. That's very empowering. But there are other times where I feel like it's all my fault. I've completely blown it. There's no way I could recover from this, and everything's just, down the drain. Thank you. So I need to be aware of this, because if I'm praying and talking to God from a position of, I blew it, this is horrible, the world's coming to an end, right? I need to be aware of how I'm praying. On the other side, someone that tends toward an external locus of control might feel like there's nothing I can do about the circumstances that I'm in. I am completely locked in. There is no way to break free or to experience change. Either end of the spectrum may not be how Holy Spirit wants you to view the situation that you're in. So recognizing what locus of control you have then allows you to take the next step, which is, Holy Spirit, am I thinking of this the way you want me to think of this? Am I allowing myself to speak things over my life that are in line with your purposes and plans for me? Am I interacting with others in a way that honors you? Show me how you want me to view this situation. He might show you, as just an example to draw from last night, like Carissa said, that you're not responsible for that person. That's outside of your control. I want you to trust me with that person or that circumstance. Or he might show you, here's something you can do to take the next step forward, and I will do it with you. The point I want to reinforce is that it should be a process with him, a dialogue with him. And so being aware of our locus of control can help us to partner with Holy Spirit better in our lives. All right, it looks like we have the copies that we need. So I'm going to give you a few minutes to complete that assessment. We're trying to get them as fast as we get them printed. So Tana's running up and down the stairs. Just answer A or B on each question. Go with your gut instinct. If you have the assessment, go ahead and complete it. Okay, keep your hand up if you still need one. We've got more. Correct. You can only circle one answer on each question. Just go with your gut. How do you first interpret the question? Okay. All right. Now I'm going to put up on the screen how to score the assessment. Not all questions are scored, and only specific answers on specific questions receive points. So there is a list on the screen. You can either score it as you take it, or once you're done answering the questions, you can look up at the screen and give yourself 1 point for each answer on the screen. I'll give you a few more minutes. We've got some time. There are questions on both sides of the page, just if you were wondering. Don't forget to flip it over. If you have answered all of the questions, please note that not all questions are scored. That was intentional, designed that way by the psychologist. He had a reason for doing it. So we'll leave that to the experts. Only give yourself 1 point for the specific answers listed on the screen. And then total your points and write the number 5, 10, 17, 22. Whatever it is, write that number down on your paper. All right, I'm going to walk through the answers on the screen. For question number 2, give yourself 1 point if you chose B. If you chose the letter A, for questions 3, 4, and 5, give yourself 1 point for each of those answers. Starting back at the beginning, if you chose answer B for question 2, give yourself 1 point. If you chose answer A for questions 3, 4, and 5, or any A's in those, give yourself 1 point for each A answer. If you chose answer B for questions 6, 7, and 9, give yourself 1 point for each of those answers. If you chose answer A for question 10, 11, 12, 13, and 15, give yourself 1 point for each of those answers. If you chose answer B for question 16, 17, 18, 20, or 21, give yourself 1 point for each of those answers. If you chose answer A for question 22, give yourself 1 point. If you chose answer B for questions 23 or 25, give yourself 1 point for each of those answers. If you chose answer A for question 26 or question 28, give yourself 1 point for each of those answers. And if you chose answer B for question 29, give yourself 1 point for that answer. Now total your points and write the number on your paper. And here's an interpretation for you on the screen. If your answer is in the 1 to 10 range, that's the external end of the spectrum. 11 to 13 is in the middle. And 14 to 23 is on the internal end of the spectrum. So now I have another question for you. With this score, does it match where you placed your post-it on the arrow on your table? All right. Hopefully we're having some interesting revelations and light bulbs going off. Because understanding our locus of control helps us to grow in self-awareness. So I want to reiterate that having an external or an internal locus of control is not good or bad in and of itself. The point is being aware of your locus of control. And then as you're processing what you're going through, your reactions, your choices, whatever decisions you have to make day to day, it's recognizing, oh, God, I'm thinking about this way. Is this the way you want me to think about it? Do you have anything else to say to me about this? How do you want me to move forward? Do I need to adjust my perception? And giving Holy Spirit room to speak into our day-to-day lives and partner with us in walking out who we are. That's the point. So one of the questions that came up earlier was, how does this apply to prayer? Because I used the example out of Luke where the Pharisee and the tax collector were praying. Well, hopefully as you move forward, you'll be able to start to recognize how you're interacting with God. Are you interacting with God as if the situation is hopeless and you don't have any way of breaking through or overcoming what you're in? What kind of locus of control would that be? External. Are you taking on responsibility for things that are not your responsibility? Are you feeling hopeless because you're putting all of that responsibility on yourself? You're trusting in your own strength. What kind of locus of control would that be? Internal. And we all talk to God. We all talk to other people. We all interact with ourselves as well. So understanding this helps us to have a critical awareness of how we're perceiving things. Then when we partner with Holy Spirit and get his insight on what we're going through, what we're experiencing, what choices we're making, we can make better decisions. All right, so I want to just take a moment to encourage you, if you do have any questions about locus of control, you have some note cards on your table, jot them down, hold up your note card, and we'll collect them because we will be pausing to take some questions soon. Not just now, but we will. All right, so now would be a really great time to jot down any questions you have. Tana and Catherine and Presley will come by and pick up those note cards so that we can address those when we pause for Q&A shortly. All right, if you still need this slide and you have a phone with a camera on it, snap a screenshot of it. Okay, I'll move to the next one so that you can gather snapshots as well. All right, here you go. Take a snapshot of this one if you need it or want it. All right. Next, we're going to move to the next tool, which is strengths. And I have a definition of strengths here on the screen for you so that you understand what I mean when I use this word. It's more than something you're good at doing. So as you can see on the screen, strengths are talents, abilities, and skills, but there's talents, abilities, and skills that strengthen and empower you when you're operating in them. So I am strengthened and energized and empowered when I am operating in my strengths. There's something that strengthens me when I'm operating in them. They're also a part of the way that we are designed to function. It's intentional, the strengths that you have. God is very purposeful in designing you, in fashioning your story, in writing your story, in partnering with you as you experience life. Additionally, they're one of the primary ways that God moves through you to bless others and establish his kingdom on the earth. He gave you strengths for a purpose, and he fully intends to partner with you to use them for his glory. So the next exercise that we are going to do is around strengths. And I have a list of the strengths on the screen, but you also have a set of cards at your table. They have the name of the strength on one side, the definition of the strength on the other. They're paperclip together. You can go ahead and take the paperclip off and spread them out. Start looking through them. What I would like you to do is to choose two or three. And then you also have a half sheet of paper. It's a worksheet. Some people may have a full sheet, but it's a worksheet that asks you to list your three strengths. So I'm going to give you a few moments to start looking through the cards and choose two or three strengths and write them down on your worksheet. This particular list of strengths I chose very intentionally for a couple of reasons. One, it's not the typical list of strengths that you would see if you were doing personal development training. Number two, each of these strengths can be found in Scripture. And number three, these are strengths that perhaps some of us are not aware of as strengths. We may not have ever recognized that these are strengths in our lives. And so I wanted to use this list to really encourage you to think and recognize more of your strengths than maybe what is typically talked about in a development session. So you're looking through the cards, you're choosing two or three strengths, and then you're jotting them down on your paper. That's what you should be doing right now. So please don't keep the card, pass it around, but jot down the name of the strength. Maybe jot down a couple of words about the definition of that strength on your paper. The definitions are on the back side of the card. The dark blue side is the definition. The white side is the name of the strength. right. Hopefully by now you have had a chance to look through the strengths and choose a couple of them. If you look at the worksheet that you have been handed, there are some self-reflection or discussion questions listed on it. The purpose of that is so that you will take it home with you and you will make time either to think through and sort out your own thoughts in answer to those questions, or maybe take it to small group and have a discussion around it, or maybe even just with a friend or a family member, someone that you would like to have this discussion with. The point is for you to take that with you and to continue discovering more about your strengths over the coming weeks. And one of the reasons that I designed it that way is because we want you all to come back on November 18th, and we want to hear about what God has been doing and saying in your life post-conference, not just in this moment, but what has he continued to do? And as I said, the heart of this session is really to create and spark your curiosity and lead you into a conversation with family, friends, with Holy Spirit, so that you can continue the journey of discovering who you are and how you fulfill your destiny by becoming who he wants you to become. So I want to just answer this next question, which is, how does understanding my strengths improve my self-awareness? And my answer is very practical on this one. It helps make wiser decisions. When I know what my strengths are, I can better participate in a team. I can better understand my function in a group or on a team. I can make a better choice about my job or career. I can make a better choice about who I choose to marry or how I interact with someone that I marry or with my family. So it's just a very practical way of recognizing what has God given me as strengths and understanding there's value in my strengths. This is how he designed me, and he intends me to contribute these strengths to my community, to my family, to my church. Because he's glorified when I partner with him and operate in these strengths. All right, so we are going to pause here. And if you have any questions on locus of control or strength, write them down. Please don't shout them out. Write them down so that the ladies can pick the cards up. And we just want to pause here to see what questions we could answer. So if something's bubbling up in your brain, write it down and hand it to Catherine or Tana or Presley so that we can answer some questions. Okay, if you have questions, you can finish writing them down on those cards. Hold those cards up so the ladies can grab them, and we will come back to answer them in a few moments. What I want to direct your attention to next is our third and final tool, and that is DISC behavioral styles. If you have not yet been handed, you will be handed a page that looks like what I'm showing on the screen. This is another page for you to take home. And I want to highlight again that I'm only introducing you to this tool. This is a very high level introduction. So I'm just going to walk through this information quickly because you will have it to take with you when you leave. The first thing if I could have everybody's attention. The first thing that I want to say about DISC is that it's not a personality test. It's an assessment of behavioral preferences. And understanding our behavioral preferences is another key aspect of self-awareness. One of the reasons why is because we are judged and we judge others based on behavior. I don't know what's in your head. I don't know your story. I don't know your motives and the intent of your heart either. All I can see is your behavior. It's the same with you when you look at me. You can see my behavior, but you don't necessarily know the intent of my heart or my experiences or what led me to behave that way. So understanding this about ourselves and others is a critical part of self-awareness. D behaviors are described as decisive or dominant or direct. That's why we use the letter D. People who have a preference for this high D type of behavior appear to be in a hurry and impatient. They're very direct and say what they think. They're very blunt and state their opinion as fact. They interrupt others often and can talk to many people at the same time. They can come across as aggressive or demanding, and they often ask, what's the bottom line? What's the point? Moving over to the I behaviors. I stands for interactive or influential. So I behaviors are open and talkative and making friends easily. Being enthusiastic and getting excited easily. Being very animated. Not listening for long. Talking about people that you know, name dropping. Overlooking details. People with high I behaviors tend to come across as carefree and positive. They find the silver lining in almost any circumstance, the higher the I is. And they like to ask, who's going to be there? So for the after party last night, the D would have been asking, what are we going to do? And the I would have been asking, who's going to be there? Moving on to the S behaviors, S stands for stable and supportive. They usually appear to be calm and patient. They listen carefully. They go along to get along. They're very easygoing. They ask lots of questions about the details. They don't seem to get excited about much. They come across as cool and collected, even in an emergency. And they often ask, how will this work? Moving on to the C behaviors, C represents cautious or conscientious is another word. They are quiet and reserved. They appear timid and act cautiously. They focus on details that other people often miss. They ask for proof, evidence, and logical explanation. They study specs, regulations, rules, and other details. They can come across as critical and picky or perfectionistic. And they often ask, why are we doing it this way? All right, let me have your attention for a few more moments here. It's important to know whether our behavioral styles are high in any of these four areas. But it's also important to recognize that we are not limited to one quadrant. So nobody in here, even if you have a very high D score, that high D score does not define you. It's a behavioral pattern. It's not who you are. It's important to know that you have a high D score, but you also have scores in the I, S, and C categories as well. And exploring those scores is another way to grow in self-awareness. So you are a blend of these DISC scores. All right? So what I want you to do is look at the bottom of that paper, and I want you to put these letters in order. Which one is most like you? Write the letter down, D, I, S, or C. Which one is often like you? Write the letter down, D, I, S, or C. Which one is less like you? Which one is least like you? Put them in order as a way of assessing yourself. What's most like me to least like me? Write those letters down on your paper. And if you notice, there are questions on the back of your paper or on the bottom if you got a full sheet. Once again, this is intentional. This is something that you can take away from the session. Find someone to have a discussion with. Take your self-assessment of most like me to least like me. And then compare it with what the other person says is most like you to least like you. Discuss the questions on the back. And then trade information. So have that person decide what's most like them to least like them. And then you get to see where your assessment lies in comparison to their own self-assessment. Now, attention, attention. Ladies, shh. This is intended for you to take away from the session, not to have that conversation right now. All right. So I just want to take a moment before we get to Q&A to talk about why understanding DISC behavioral styles is important and how it improves our self-awareness. Each of us have behavioral patterns that are comfortable for us, and DISC measures those behavioral preferences. When I understand what my behavioral preferences are, how I communicate, how I like to be communicated with, how I feel supported, what makes me not feel supported, I'm better able to make wiser decisions, such as what goals I set for myself, how I communicate with someone else, how I interpret how someone else is communicating with me. And so it is a very versatile tool that helps us to understand more about ourselves. And what I in particular like about DISC is that I only have to learn four letters, and then it helps me to better interpret the behavior of others and understand how to interact with them in ways that are healthy for the relationship, as well as giving me insight into things like setting boundaries for myself, knowing how much downtime I need versus people time, looking at how I communicate in different situations and when I need to adjust my approach. All of these very practical things that revolve around behavior is insight that we can gain through DISC. So I'm just going to give you one example from my life. My highest is S, and then C is a close second. So that's on the reserved spectrum, and it's pretty much split half and half between task and people. The C is my task focus. The S is my people focus. But both of them are on the reserved, the passive end of the spectrum. And so it is a challenge for me at times to interact with people on the active side of the spectrum, which are the higher D's and higher I's. And in particular for me, since S is my highest, the one that can be very challenging for me to relate to effectively is someone with a high D score. And previously, before I understood DISC, I used to judge these people very harshly. I would view them as being very rude and unkind and exhibiting behaviors that I just didn't like, so I just often avoided them. Now that I've learned and even teach DISC, I have a new appreciation and a better understanding for what the high behaviors are And it really helps me to interpret the behavior of someone with a high D score. It helps me not to judge them and to understand better where they're coming from. And I've actually gained an appreciation for the fact that high D's can cut through the crap and get to the heart of the issue really quickly, which is actually a strength. So there are lots of different ways that we can grow through using this DISC tool. And one of the reasons that we chose to introduce you to the tool in this session is because you're going to begin hearing a lot more about this particular tool here at Good News. If you're part of this fellowship, you'll be having opportunity to explore more through small groups and other avenues in the future. So we wanted to go ahead and introduce you to it and give you some reference point to begin your journey of understanding DISC if you haven't explored that before. All right. So now it's time for Q&A. Presley is going to go ahead and kick us off.
Okay, if anybody has any other questions about anything since the last question grab of cards, you can hand those in to Tana or Catherine as they're walking around as I'm answering and asking. So I have a couple that I can answer really quickly. Can we get the definitions of the strengths for the future? Yes. I think yes, we can. We can get you those either on the 18th. We can get you a sheet or a copy of all those strengths with the definitions. So that's a quick one. All right, this one's for you, Maureen. You ready?
Yeah.
I'm a leader supervisor in the workplace. I am very internal, 17. How can I relate, lead others with opposite external thinking, but not trying to change them?
Ooh, great question.
Yeah.
One way that I practice this in just my friendships is by asking a lot of questions and reminding myself that this person and their story is different. They're a totally different, unique individual, and it's not always my job to give advice. Sometimes my job is just to be there for them and to challenge them to figure out the best course of action and to not try to control their life, but leave that to the Holy Spirit. So encouraging them and reminding them, if we're talking about in a spiritual context, reminding them who they are, that they do hear from God. What do you think he thinks about this? Have you talked to him about it? Have you considered maybe this scripture or that scripture? In the workplace, I would encourage asking questions. If you're looking for a really good resource on this topic, I would recommend Cy Wakeman. C.Y. Wakeman. She's here out of Omaha. She does leadership development and training. And she helps workplaces and teams create a drama-free workspace. She's got some really great teaching on handling that in the workplace if you want to dive deeper. But my first recommendation would be to slow down and listen and to ask questions that cause people to start to take ownership. So what is it that you want? How is it that you want me to help you? What do you think your responsibility is in this situation? And it turns the table back to encourage them to think about what actions they can take to get the outcome that they want.
Very good. Okay. The next one is, do you just disregard your strength from Strength Finders or switch to Locus or incorporate both? Can I give a little thing too?
Yes.
Okay, so the way that I view all of these awesome tools is like a vehicle. And we use a lot of varieties of vehicle across our lifetime to get us from one place to another. There might be seasons where you need to go farther, faster, and you're on an airplane. Other times you get in that car and you drive yourself there. So when applying from Ultimate Journey to Strength Finders to DISC and all these different things, they're so There's so much variety between the styles of vehicle, if you can picture it like that, but they're all moving in the same direction of that personal, you know, self-awareness. So,
yeah, I would say something very similar. Each one of these tools gives you a different insight into who you are. So if pick one that catches your attention and work through it, ask Holy Spirit what he has to say about that in your life. If he's highlighting one in particular, focus on that one. He knows you. He's the one who's fashioning you into the image of Christ. He's the one who's completing the work in you. So each of them can help in different ways. I wouldn't necessarily throw any of them out and focus on others. For me, I have not yet explored the Enneagram. I know it's really popular, but I haven't felt led to explore that personally. And that's just a personal decision. It's not because I don't approve of it. I have heard a lot of great things about it, and I see how it has helped many of my friends or acquaintances. So I would support them in doing that. I just haven't felt personally led to use that tool for myself yet.
And remembering when you hear words like the Enneagram that gives like this immediate fear of something possibly not godly, we want to remember that every self-help, self-awareness, self-growth, personal growth tool is that adjunct faculty to the fruits of the Spirit, not to be removed from. So, so if I'm an I, which I'm not, should I strive to be more of a D? No. Or be satisfied with my I and improve on that? So basically, should I try to change myself into something different?
If you want a short, blunt answer, I would say no, unless the Holy Spirit directs you to change and grow in a certain area. The approach that I take is to embrace who you are and what your behavioral patterns are. Understand how that impacts your relationships, and then be the best you that you can be. Embrace your identity, know who you are, and allow Holy Spirit to partner with you as you interact with others. It's not wrong to be high D or I or S or C. It's about recognizing these are the patterns in my life. And if Holy Spirit tells me I need to be more outgoing, or I need to be quieter, or I need to pay attention to these details, or I need to slow down and stop talking, then I need to follow his lead. But I shouldn't necessarily be trying to change myself based on a score, on one small assessment.
Okay, I'm going to generalize a couple of questions. So if you didn't hear yours, recognize, you know, the people that led your group in here, and we're more than happy to visit afterwards. I know I said in the first group, like, one-on-one, all of us are much more comfortable to, like, share openly and stuff. Maureen did a wonderful job, and tons of wisdom there. So if you have individual questions, please don't hesitate to ask there. So the idea of the last couple of questions is that there's a mismatch between who I think I am and the way other people are seeing me. Am I not as developed as I think I am? And how much does other people's opinions go into then my own perception? And then what do I do with that?
I would say to keep the meat and spit out the bones is actually something that Pastor Walt encouraged me to do not too long ago. You are always receiving feedback, whether it's verbal or not, and to be responsible in stewarding who we are, we need to really process through, what am I experiencing? Holy Spirit, I need you to interpret this for me. Is who I am, is how I'm behaving, is how I'm treating other people honoring you? So even in my conversations with friends, I'm always encouraging people, okay, so who are you? What do you need? And what honors the other person? If you can be yourself and submit to the Holy Spirit, then you can honor the other person. Even if that seems to come across differently. There's value to feedback. I think my encouragement would be that you should take some time to process your own perception and the perception of others with Holy Spirit, because there's going to be value from both perspectives, just like there's value to an external locus of control and giving up control of things that are beyond what we can control. And there's also value to an internal locus of control, which is recognizing that I can do something about the situation that I'm in, whatever that might be. So there is value to feedback from others. There's also value to how I see myself. And if there's a disconnect, that's an area where I might even reach out to have someone coach me or talk me through it. Have a discussion with someone who you trust. Receive some prayer. You know, talk to God about it. Pray. Because it both can be valuable, but ultimately, he needs to be the one who defines us.
I said it in the first session. I felt more confident to say it. I don't know if it fits here today or not, but she just kind of hit on it a little bit. So some of that disc that you got towards the end and how you're going to hear us talking about it a little bit more is because at first it was very overwhelming information for me. It was a lot. And like what you're getting is like 2%. I mean, it's a lot of information. But the more that I was meeting with Maureen and understanding more about myself, the more free I was in who I am, because I felt I always needed to apologize for who I am. So I am a rainbow, actually. So I'm high in all of them, which I was frustrated because I felt like I was always crazy. Like I'm this person and I'm this person and I'm this person and this person and I can't, like, what? Why can't I be calm and soft-spoken all the time? Why can't I be like this? Why can't I be like this? And I would talk to God about it all the time. And learning this about myself was, again, frustrating. Why can't I just be clearly high on something? Some days I'm a red off the charts. Some days I'm an I off the charts. Some days I'm an S. And Maureen really helped me through that process of understanding how uniquely God made me. And actually, as a staff, we did this. And I think there's five of us. Well, now I think there's four of us that were rainbows. And should I say who they are? Because it's really interesting. Probably not. Is it? Because if you see how different we are, I don't remember. Well, I know three of them. Me, Isaiah, Pastor Isaiah, Morgan. We're very different people. But yet we still are this. But then as we learned maybe where I tend to be a little higher in some things, and then Morgan might be a little, and Isaiah, it was very interesting to learn. And it also helped how we interact with each other. And like Maureen said, when she said sometimes she would tend to treat D's a little bit different, not want to be around them. At first when I would hear her say that, it would make me sad. Like, oh, I made her not want to be around me, you know? But that's when I deal with her when I'm in my high D mode. And then when I'm in my I mode, she kind of likes me, you know, like we're different. But it was freeing to learn that. In some of those other assessments you do, one of my words was turbulent, and that hurt my feelings a lot, turbulent. And people around here would tease me about it, like, here comes Tana. You can hear her in the office all the time. She's like a tornado. She's just going. And it would make me embarrassed. It would make me, why am I like this? Why can't I just slow down? Why can't, like, I'm going to get teary thinking about it. Why can't I? And people didn't realize it was hurting my feelings, but I had to go home and wrestle through what that meant. And then again, Maureen was able to help me process through, actually, turbulent is a really good thing. It's just I was hearing it through the filters of its negative. And so that's why I really encourage you guys to really evaluate your filters, the E and the I. I know already some people were looking, oh, you put over by an E? That means you have a victim mindset. Everything is about everything else. I don't have any responsibility. I know some people in this room do that. I know. Then if you're really strong on the I, what that says about you. If you were in the middle, oh, that's just the safe place to go in the middle. We all do it. We all do it. And so Maureen's counsel is so true of there's not a right or wrong. It's just learning who God made you and then working through. It's also not an excuse. Just because I'm in a high D mode does not mean I get to trample over all over everybody. And I have to come back and tell my kids that was not the right way for me to respond. Those kinds of things. I can own the D when I'm doing it well, and I need to repent of the D when I'm not doing it well. You know? So.
And I just want to go back to something I said earlier. You are a unique expression of the image of God. These tools should draw you closer to him. I'm hoping that you're driven to have conversation with him after this session over the coming weeks, and then come back on the 18th because he spoke to you and he really highlighted something that said, hey, let's chat about this. Because no one else in all of history can express who he is the way you can. We need your voice. We need your story. We need your personality. We need your gifts. We need your strengths. And we'll be there together when we come up on those weak areas, right? But we are a body. Peter said we were living stones, right? That he's placing us and that he's building us into a house for his habitation. And that requires you to embrace what your life looks like and who he's called you to be. So be you, know who you are, and then ask Holy Spirit to help you on that journey to continue to become more like Christ. He's the one who can tell you this needs to change. Now, I put this here for a reason, that I want this to continue. Not a test or a tool. They're just tools to drive us closer to him.
Can we thank Maureen for all of the awesome wisdom? Such a big amount of work to put into such a small amount of time, and we made it through it, and we're not late. I'm so proud of us. November 18th, 6:30, is the follow-up from this event, and so we encourage all of you guys to come out. It's round table. It's kind of like the after-party feel, so don't feel like it's going to be an official pew-like experience, but we're going to get around and talk about what we've come through, what we've discovered. And we have homework for you. I don't know what it is.
So you can take your worksheets with you. There's another short list of suggested actions you can take that are beyond what we did here, including more information on locus of control and a place where you can even take a free strengths assessment with this strengths list that I provided today. So make sure you get one of those cards to take away, because these are all steps you can take between now and the 18th. And I really encourage you, do one thing. Have a conversation about DISC with someone, or talk about locus of control, or spend time praying and asking Holy Spirit to speak more in your area of strength and help you to recognize how he wants to operate in your life through those areas of strength. But do something after this session over the next couple of weeks, and then come back and share with us what God spoke to you or how he's been growing you and helping you to discover more of who he made you to be.
I think that's all. Okay, I'm just going to pray, and then you guys are dismissed to go have lunch. So, Father God, we thank you for this time, Lord. I thank you so much for all this amazing information, God, that you have poured into us, Lord. I just pray that you would make the soil ready in our hearts and our minds and our spirits to just really begin to dig in and plant all of these truths, God, and let us just to eat the meat and throw away the bones for each individual person, God. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.